السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said at one place that Allah the Exalted is hidden, but He can be identified through His powers. One can find and recognize His being through prayer. Every human, whether kings and emperors, certainly face difficult times, which ultimately reduce him to utter humility and at a complete loss as to what to do. During such difficult times, these difficulties can be resolved through prayer. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has stated the significance of prayer in many places and in different contexts and from various angles. Through the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, his companions developed insight into this and had such firm faith in prayers and had such steadfast belief that others, including those who had no link with religion and were not Ahmadis, acknowledged that their prayers were accepted. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, once an account was related to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam which made him laugh a lot. The incident is about Munshi Arore Khan Sahib, who used to visit Qadian quite regularly in the early days. But later, due to important work assigned to him, he could not take time off work as before. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu recalled that it was during his young childhood when, on his arrival in Qadian, Munshi Sahib would warmly greet others like a long-lost brother meeting after a year's gap. Even though his stay was very hurried, they met with such affection and devotion as if he had not seen them for a whole year. It was mentioned in the assembly of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam that Munshi Sahib has such an aura that even the magistrates were afraid. Munshi Sahib worked in the offices of a session judge. He once asked for some time off work to visit Qadian. However, the magistrate declined because it was very busy at work. Munshi Sahib told him that it was fine, but said that he would start invoking malediction, in other words, praying against him, from that day on. The magistrate went on to sustain great loss, which cautioned him, and as a result, every Saturday he would ask his court staff to finish work early, just in case Munshi Sahib missed catching his train. And so, whenever Munshi Sahib wanted to go to Qadian, the magistrate himself would tell him to take time off work to go to visit Qadian. Thus, this was the impact of his prayers. They, the companions of the promised Messiah, had an impact on even the non-Ahmadis in this manner. And we too should recall this today and strengthen our relationship with God Almighty. I shall relate some other accounts relating to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, which were recounted by Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and these are essential for our spiritual development and tarbiyat. There are people in the world of different temperaments, dispositions and feelings. Some people's senses are sharp, whilst others are less so. Some, due to the specific prevailing circumstances and environment, become used to a certain type of weather or a season. Others may find those same conditions difficult and harsh. Because they are not used to those conditions, they feel it more, or they may be more sensitive generally. Thus, the degree to which one feels hot, cold, or is able to sense good and bad smells, depends on their senses and feelings. Man's senses make this differentiation evident. The majority of people experience these sensory feelings in different conditions. Those who do not experience these sensory feelings cannot establish that these conditions are non-existent or they have no impact. For example, those living in freezing cold conditions. Some people in the winter, despite wearing thick socks, experience their feet shivering. Others do not use socks at all in the cold and say that their feet are very warm. However, none of this means that it is not cold or that the cold has no effect on people. In short, these things do have an effect and most people feel them distinctly. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, with relation to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, gives a worldly example and said that people are sensitive to feeling hot or cold in varying degrees or are different in how acute their sense of smell is. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam recounted that some townspeople were gathered talking about the heat properties of sesame seeds. They said that no one could eat a measure of such and such amount of sesame seed without falling ill. It was impossible not to become sick as a result. One of them piped up during the course of the discussion and said, "If anyone was to eat such amount of sesame seeds, I would give him 5 rupees. A Shuli farmer was passing by. they are used to eating raw things and in large quantities, and he was a very overconfident individual. And so, when he listened to the men, he was very amazed how anyone could be paid 5 rupees to eat something so delicious. And so he asked them, "Do I have to eat the seeds with the plant or without?" The reason why he asked was because he could not believe that reward could be given for eating just sesame seeds and not the plant. Thus, he was ready to eat the seeds along with the plant, while others, who were discussing this, thought that it was impossible to eat such and such amount of seeds. Such was the difference in the senses of these people. On the one hand were people who thought it was impossible to eat so much grams of sesame seeds, and on the other hand was someone prepared to eat them along with the plant. He thought it was bizarre to be asked to do this. Thus, differences among people in the world emerge out of various sensory feelings. And the same principle works in the spiritual world. Prayer affects some people more than others, as some are more spiritually perceptive. Some people offer prayers hurriedly, going through the motions up and down, and their prayers do not bring about any effect. Thus, those who have greater spiritual perception and senses will bring about a greater effect through their worship and their prayers. Therefore, majority of people in the Jamaat, i.e. the community, should have greater spiritual perception and should have their prayers accepted, and then should explain to the world what true worship is and the spiritual perception needed to cultivate this. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates an account that would often be recounted by Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I. Although Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has related this account in a different light, however, we learn from this incident that when major scholars would come to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, they would also receive the blessings of taking the bayat at his hands. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I would relate, there was a religious scholar who was renowned in India for his vast knowledge. And his appearance was extremely simple, and he could easily be mistaken for a manual worker by one who was not acquainted with him. His name was Maulvi Khan Malik Sahib. He visited Qadian after hearing about the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's claim, and after listening to the words of the promised Messiah, he accepted him. Later, he went to Lahore and decided to meet Maulvi Ghulam Ahmed Sahib, who used to deliver a dars, i.e. religious lectures, at the Shahi Mosque, and was a scholar with hundreds of students, but who himself had once been Maulvi Khan Malik Sahib's student himself. The people of Lahore were generally affluent, and thus Maulvi Ghulam Ahmed Sahib was in very good financial standing, and hundreds of students learned from him. When Maulvi Khan Malik Sahib arrived at the Shahi Mosque, Maulvi Ghulam Ahmed Sahib's people had no idea of Maulvi Khan Sahib's status, which is very simple outward appearance belied. Maulvi Ghulam Ahmed Sahib asked where he had come from, and when he replied that he had been to Qadian, Maulvi Ghulam Ahmed was astonished and asked why Qadian. Maulvi Khan Malik Sahib replied that he went to Qadian in order to become a follower of Mirza Sahib, i.e. the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam. Maulvi Ghulam Ahmed Sahib asked that he was such a big scholar, therefore what quality did he see in the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam that he decided to become his follower? Maulvi Khan Malik Sahib told him in Punjabi to mind his own business, as he still did not know much or have full knowledge of even basic Arabic grammar. As Maulvi Ghulam Ahmed Sahib was also a major religious scholar, this greatly riled his pupils. And so, they addressed Maulvi Khan Malik Sahib and said, that old man, what is this that you say? But Maulvi Ghulam Ahmed calmed them and told them to stay quiet, and said that Maulvi Khan Malik Sahib was absolutely right. Therefore, at the time of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, there were pious people of this manner who took the bayat of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and they were not obstinate upon their previous knowledge. Similarly, Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates that once an Arab came to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. When he was about to leave after some days, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam offered him something for his fare, since these people are usually needy. However, he refused to accept it and said, I heard that you have made the claim to be an appointed one of God. That is the reason I visited. I did not come here to take anything. This was a new thing, because the people who visited from this area were usually needy. Therefore, noticing this, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said, you should stay here for a few more days. He stayed, and the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam appointed some people to do tabligh, i.e. preach to him. A discussion with him continued for many days, but there was no effect on him. At last, the people who were doing tabligh to him informed the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam that he is very passionate. He is not like the needy people. It seems that he is in desirous of the truth. Hazur says, just like the Arabs who are converting to Ahmadiyyat in this day and age and have this desire by the grace of Allah the Almighty. Hazrat Musleh Maud continues, therefore please pray for him. He is not able to understand through tabligh. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam prayed, and God Almighty informed the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam that he will receive guidance. With the power of God, that same night, something had such an impact on him that he took the oath of allegiance in the morning and left. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states, as someone informed me that on the occasion of Hajj, he did tabligh to many caravans. People from one caravan would beat him unconscious, and he would go to another caravan after waking up and would do tabligh to them. So the thing is that when Allah the Almighty opens the hearts, then the hearts open up, and such an exemplary passion is procured that one does not worry about anything. Similarly, Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates another incident, that during the time of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, an English or American person accepted Islam. His name was Alexander Russell Webb, and he used to work in the American embassy in the Philippines. When the English announcements of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam were propagated in Europe and America, Alexander Russell Webb was motivated to accept Islam. He started to write to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and as a result of this, he became a Muslim and devoted his life to propagate the message of Islam. Later on, he visited India and expressed his desire to meet the promised Messiah alayhi salam. However, the Muslim clerics told him, i.e. the clerics of Lahore, of whichever big city he was visiting them, that if he was to meet Mirza Sahib, i.e. the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, Muslims will not give you any donations. In other words, if you want to do tabligh, you want to implement your plan, whatever your plan is for Tabligh, you will not receive any donation from Muslims for this purpose. Therefore, as a result of their deception, he did not meet with the promised Messiah, and at last he left with immense disappointment. These Muslims did not help him either. He was informed that other Muslims will help, and they will make huge donations for the propagation of Islam. However, the other Muslims did not help at all. Near the demise of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he wrote a letter to Hazur and said, "I have experienced a lot of misery by not listening to your advice. You had informed me a long time ago that Muslims have no passion to serve Islam. But I did not listen to it, and as a result of that, I was deprived from meeting you. However, he remained a Muslim until the end and had sincere relations with the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam." So he was the first American Muslim. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states, "Even now I see that the advancement of the Jamaat in America is happening more than the European countries. In certain European countries, Ahmadiyyat is spreading, and they too are in the western part of it. However, the signs of progress found in USA are far greater." May God Almighty enable the USA Jamaat to try finding such pious individuals and bring them under the flag of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A strong and concerted effort should be made towards this. And may the desire expressed by Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu become a reality. In fact, at one time, many people converted to Ahmadiyyat in America and remained firm on Ahmadiyyat. However, the progeny of many of them did not remain firm on Ahmadiyyat, either due to worldly pursuits or a lack of communication, or because of various other reasons. Therefore, the USA Jamaat should make an effort in this regard. Regarding the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's relationship with children and how he would take care of their moral training, Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, "The correct method is one that teaches them fun and games. In other words, they should be trained whilst playing with them. Initially, when the child is very young, it is important to train them through stories. For an adult, a mere admonishment or exhortation is sufficient. However, stories are essential for children in order to maintain their interest. It is not necessary that the stories have to be based on lies. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam used to read stories to us. He would sometimes relate the story of Hazrat Yusuf, Hazrat Noah, and Hazrat Musa. And even though they were based on the truth, but for us they were just stories. He would also relate the story of the envier and the envied from 1001 Nights. Whether the story is true or not, it contains a valuable lesson. Similarly, we would hear various proverbs that are linked to stories from the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. Therefore, the best way to teach children is through stories. Although some stories are meaningless and shameful, but there are others which teach morality and are very instructive. Children of a very young age should be educated in this way. Once they further develop, then the best way to teach them is through games and sports. Some parents say that their children play too much. If they are not playing video games and are playing outdoors, then they should let them play. The knowledge that is imparted through books is practically given through games and sports. However, the age for stories is below that of playing games and sports. Thus, fathers should also give time to their children. If both parents work towards the children's training, build a friendly relationship with them and give them proper training and also closely remain attached to them, then many of the issues relating to their training and development can be resolved, which parents often complain about. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu regarding this states, "The reason behind narrating stories to children is so that they do not make noise and do not waste the parents' time. This is also one of the reasons. If these stories are to prove beneficial later on in life, then this indeed is a wonderful thing. These days, in order to stop the children from making noise and so that they sit on their own, the parents either hand them iPads or make them sit in front of computers or before the TV. If there are any good stories being told on them, then it is fine. Otherwise, they are simply wasting their time. Small children should not even be sitting in front of the TV and computer in the first place, because it can affect their eyesight if they sit for too long. In fact, doctors say that such devices can affect the children mentally and they become single-tracked, and various other ill effects can come about. In any case, Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu further states, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam would read stories out to us and we would gain the benefit of listening to these stories. If the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam had not read out those stories to us, then we would have made noise and he would not have been able to do his work. Therefore, it was important to narrate those stories in order to quieten us down. Thus, in order to maintain our interest, whenever the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam had any free time, he would read stories so that we would fall asleep and he could continue with his work. Children do not realize the importance of the work that their parents are doing. If they are not given anything that interests them, they begin to make noise. And so the purpose of reading stories out to them is so that they fall asleep. In those days, they didn't have these devices and the parents worked very hard. Now, however, as I mentioned before, certain devices have come and as a result, parents do not work hard towards the training of their children and are also less attached to them. Therefore, attention needs to be paid towards this. The importance for reading out stories has been accepted by all, even though it is only a temporary requirement. At the time, the only benefit is that it captures the child's interest and the child becomes completely immersed in it and falls asleep. The purpose of the parents, however, is to save time. Therefore, they put the child to bed and read it stories, or one of them reads the story while the other continues the work, or sometimes one of them reads out the story while the rest of the family work. They will still achieve the purpose even if the stories they related were frivolous and pointless. However, we are not content with these. Rather, they should relate stories which are beneficial even at that age. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrated an incident about friendship and how we should form friendships that do not become a means of ruin. He says, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam used to relate an old tale about a man who was friends with a bear. He had either looked after it or he had done the bear a great favor during a time of difficulty. Therefore, the bear would always sit next to him. Thus, this is a tale which was made in order to convey a truth. Even though it is possible that sometimes a person can look after an animal, for instance a bear, and have it sat next to him, however, whenever I relate a story told by the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, it is only a tale which has been narrated in order to convey a fact, i.e., it serves as an exhortation. The reason why I am saying this is so that the enemy does not raise the allegation that these are such foolish people that they believe that a bear can come and sit next to a person. These old tales are there so that one can take lesson from them, and it means that people of similar disposition to those animals, as some people have such characteristics which are similar to those of that animal. For instance, the old tales would describe the king's court as a lion's court, and the other heads and ministers would be presented in the form of other animals. And so, the king, regarding whom the story was about, would derive great pleasure in reading these. Anyways, the bear was a friend of this man and would often come to visit him. One day, his mother was ill, and he sat next to her waving a fan and helping to shoo away the flies. While he was doing this, he had to go out for something, and so he signaled to the bear to help shoo away the flies while he went out. The bear started to earnestly shoo the flies away. However, there is a difference in the hands of human and an animal, and the animal cannot easily wave his hand as compared to a human. Therefore, he would repeatedly wave away the fly, but it would again come and sit on top. The bear thought that because the fly was causing trouble to his friend's mother, therefore he decided to resolve the issue by taking a large stone and threw it in order to kill the fly. Though the fly died, but it also crushed his friend's mother. Now, this merely stands as an example, meaning that some foolish people form friendships, but they do not know how to keep the friendship. Sometimes they seek to be the well-wisher of their friend, but in reality it ruins them. If they truly were their friends, then they would not have led them towards disbelief. Rather, if they even saw them slightly inclined towards it, they would stop them immediately. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has indeed beautifully illustrated the concept of friendship. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "Help your brother regardless of whether he is an oppressor or from the oppressed." The companions asked, "O Prophet, what does this mean? Should we help an oppressor?" The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "When you stop the hand of an oppressor from committing a cruelty, this amounts to helping him." Thus, it does not mean that one should help a friend regardless of the circumstances and comply with his wishes. In fact, true friendship is that if even one has to go against the friend in order to be of benefit to him, then one should do so. If one does not do this, then he is destroying him or is causing him harm through other means. Many people are not able to understand this, and Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in regards to this, has given an example of Qadian where he mentioned this. Hazur said that a person once had a dispute with someone, and one of the friends, in order to unlawfully do justice to his friendship, or under the false perception of doing justice to his friendship, got fully involved in the dispute. However, the other person, on account of his pious nature, reconciled his dispute and ended it and made peace with the other. However, the friend who had got involved in the argument ended up renouncing his faith. Therefore, where friendships enable one to gain the nearness of God Almighty and can provide benefit, there they can also lead to ruin and destruction of both the friend and the person himself. Thus, when fulfilling the dues of friendship, one should be sensible and also be in control of one's emotions. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states, "I remember that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam used to relate this story, that there was a man who was friends with a bear. His wife would always mock him for this and say that how can it be that he can be friends with a bear. One day, she scorned him so much that her voice became so loud that the bear heard it. The bear got hold of a sword and told his friend to strike it on his head. One should not be surprised from this conversation, because this is only a tale in order to convey the moral that sometimes people can have bear-like characteristics, while others are like humans. Each person has their own nature. Some humans have characteristics resembling bears, and others take on the form of other animals. The man greatly refused to do it, but the bear insisted that he must strike his head. Eventually, the man took the sword and struck him on the head. The bear began to bleed and went into the jungle. After a year, the bear came to his friend and said to take a look at his head and see if the wound had left any mark. The man checked the bear's head and could not find any mark left by the wound. The bear then said that there were some herbs in the jungle, and he used them to treat the wound, and it had become better. However, he said that the wound left by his wife's words was still fresh in his heart. Thus, at times the wound caused by words is far greater than that which has been left by a sword, and this sword, i.e. the tongue or the speech, leaves behind such a wound which can never be forgotten. Hence, everyone should keep in mind that for the sake of societal peace and tranquility, they should be mindful of each other's emotions and should not use harsh words unnecessarily, which cause wounds that always remain fresh. And this is a lesson that every Ahmadi should always keep in mind. After accepting the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, it is the duty of every Ahmadi to protect his faith. And sometimes faith is lost because of some minor things. As I mentioned earlier, a person continued to decline in faith because of helping his friend. And later he completely turned away from his faith. At other times, it so happens that faith is lost because of speaking against the design of Allah the Almighty. Therefore, we should always evaluate ourselves continuously. As Muslim Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, that an example of this can be found in the story of Moses. And the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam used to narrate that story frequently. It is stated that when Moses left Egypt, he faced Amalek in the battlefield. Amalek is the same tribe from the progeny of Prophet Noah, and it is said that this tribe was known for its immense opposition towards the Israelites. However, their king feared that they will be defeated, and there was a noble person in their midst. The king requested him to pray. He prayed, and God the Almighty revealed to him that Moses is a prophet of God, and one should not pray against him. So he informed the king that it is not possible to pray against Moses. When the king found out that none of his instructions were having any effect, he carried out the same trick that Satan did in order to expel Adam from paradise. This has always been the practice of Satan. He caused Adam to stumble through Eve. Similarly, he prepared a lot of jewelry and gave this to the nobleman's wife in order to make him pray against Moses. She incited him, but he replied that Moses is God's near one, so it is not possible to pray against him. I prayed against him, but have received the answer. However, she insisted and said, "It's not necessary that you will experience the same condition. Therefore, pray against him." At last he agreed. So they took him to a location, but he said that my heart does not open here. Therefore, two or three locations were changed. Since that noble person was supposed to lose his faith, therefore he prayed against Moses. And it is said that as soon as he prayed, the people of Moses experienced misery. This was because of the weakness in their faith. That is, people of Moses experienced misery because of the weakness in their faith. This was a temporary loss that they experienced. While the faith of the person who is pretending to be a noble person departed away suddenly like a dove. His faith finished because Allah the Almighty had prohibited him not to pray. However, he prayed against Moses, and therefore was punished in this way, and his stature of nobility ended, and the honor of being a near one to Allah the Almighty was also lost. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "No doubt this is a story. However, its meaning is that he lost faith from his heart like a person loses a dove from his hand. Since faith comes with much difficulty and disappears because of one word, therefore, it takes a lot of hard work to believe in something and accept it and concede to it and then increase in faith. However, a very insignificant thing, a word, that is against the pleasure of Allah the Almighty can be the cause of losing one's faith. Therefore, it is necessary that one should always be cautious and evaluate himself. Regarding the remembrance of God Almighty, in reference to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam used to mention a saying of a noble person, that dast darkar wa dil bayar, meaning the hands of a man should be occupied with work, however, his heart should be focused towards Allah the Almighty. Similarly, it is known about a noble person that once someone asked him, "And how many times should I praise and glorify Allah?" He replied, "Should someone praise his beloved while counting it?" So the real praise and glorification is that which is countless, But the virtue in setting a fixed time to remember or glorify Allah is that one separates himself from everything else for his beloved. Since both of these conditions are necessary, the correct method is to also remember and glorify Allah at a fixed and appointed manner. In this day and age, people who are engaged in worldly matters do not understand this. For this reason, they should take time out for this. Also, they should remember Allah while sitting, standing, in other words, doing various activities all the time, and be flexible in this regard. Allah the Almighty should be remembered, and He should be praised and glorified repeatedly for His bounties and favors. The objective of every Ahmadi should be to listen to religious matters thoroughly, try to remember them, and act upon them. It is not beneficial for a person to listen to sermons and speeches, or to attend gatherings, or temporarily read a book and be affected by it for some time, and then not remember it or act upon it later. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that once the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam began delivering lectures to women for their moral training. He lectured for many days. One day he said, "We should test women in order to find how much do they understand our lectures." There was a lady who was visiting from outside. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam inquired from her, "I have been lecturing for 8 days. Tell me, what did I mention in these lectures?" She replied, "You mentioned the things stated by Allah and His Prophet. What else have you mentioned?" The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was so shocked by this reply that he ended delivering such lectures and stated that such ignorance can be found even in our women. And it seems as if they are in need of very elementary knowledge. They do not have the capacity to listen to high level of spiritual matters. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that this is the condition of some men. But I would say that even now, this is the condition of many men. Nowadays, in some places, the opposite is happening. Some women are more knowledgeable than men. And when they remind their men that this is a religious matter, you should follow it, some complaints are received that men reply, "Religion says a lot of things. However, we will stay like this and we will do whatever we like to do." Therefore, it should be kept in mind that when such stubbornness takes root, then deterioration occurs continuously and one becomes absolutely distant from religion. In any case, Hazrat Musleh Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, "And look at the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in comparison, how they used to listen to the sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam day and night, and they would be ready to act upon them. They took the minutest and the most significant sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and not only did they spread it worldwide, rather they acted upon it. Then there are the books of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasallam. It is the most important responsibility of the Jama'at to read and take advantage of them. However, remember that you should do this not only to seek pleasure from this, rather, you should focus your attention towards these matters with the intention to seek benefit from them and act upon them. You will not attain any benefit if you were to read the entire Quran only to seek pleasure from it. However, if you were to ponder over the attributes of Allah the Almighty and say very passionately, 'Subhanallah,' i.e. holy is Allah, out of His love, then He can take you to a different level." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam once said in a gathering that sometimes when we do tasbih, i.e. glorification of Allah the Almighty, we reach a different level by only doing it once. "I was not attending this gathering, however a young man who heard this came to me from there and said, 'I do not understand what the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said today.' He was not an experienced person. However, at that age, I had experience in this regard, even though my age was only 17 to 18 years. When I heard this from him, I said, 'Yes, this happens.' He inquired, 'How?' I replied that I have experienced many times that I say Subhanallah, i.e. holy is Allah, once, and my spirituality flies from one level to another. That Subhanallah is from the bottom of the heart. It is not mere lip service." When he heard this, he replied with immense contempt, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." The reason behind this was that this person had never pondered over the subject matter of Subhanallah. He would not gain anything by saying Subhanallah all day long. However, due to my personal experience, I knew that many times it so happened that when I said Subhanallah, I felt that I was someone else before, and afterwards I became someone else. Look at how the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained this subject matter with such perfection. Although I had not studied Bukhari at that time, but my experience was valid. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kalimatani habibatani ila rahmani khafifatani ala lisan." The two words are such that they are very dear to the gracious. They are very light on the tongue, and man can easily pronounce these words. He does not feel any burden. However, on the day of judgment, when actions will be weighed, these words will prove very heavy. And whichever side of scale they will be placed, they will move it down. And what are those words? They are Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallahil Azim. Hazrat Muslim says, "I am very much in the habit of saying these words, and I have noticed that even saying these words once causes my spirit to fly from one level to another." Therefore, the real thing is that we should seriously ponder upon the commandments of Allah the Almighty and try to act upon them. Therefore, this is the reality that sometimes the tasbih, i.e. the glorification and remembrance of Allah the Almighty, and the tahmid, i.e. the praise of Allah the Almighty done from the bottom of the heart, seems like as if it is showing its effect. Such is the feeling that one experiences. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to do this. May He procure the strength within us to practice it, and may He enable us to obtain His pleasure. And may we become those who do such tasbih and tahmid, i.e. the remembrance and glorification of Allah the Almighty, that it takes our spirits to different levels and we receive the nearness to God Almighty.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر